We are up to the bottom of Dalamud Aleph. We'll be doing Dalamud Bet today. Again, today we're going to be focusing on some more drushos of psukim, some more run-ins with early Christians, and more. So we're here at the bottom of Dalamud Aleph. We are four lines down from the bottom. Four lines up from the bottom with Rav Papa. Rav Papa Ramiksi. He brought another contradiction between psukim. And again, basically what we said yesterday is that seemingly this is more connected to the fact that these rabbis had a lot of interactions with Christians who were constantly harassing them, asking them questions about, you know, how do you answer these psukim? It seems like they support our narrative. So it says here that about God, a pasuk in Tehillim, kel zo'im b'chol yom, that God sort of has his anger, his wrath pours forth every day. And what Rashi understands it is that it sounds like, nevertheless, it's not completely overpowering that no one sees, everyone ceases to exist. And yet, there's a pasuk in Nachum that says, "Lifnei za'amo mi'amod," in front of God's anger, in front of God's wrath, who could possibly stand up and withstand? So on the one hand, one pasuk implies that you can withstand God's anger, and the other pasuk in Nachum implies not. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a problem. Lokashio, kam biyachid, kam b'tzibur. That when it comes to a yachid, when a person is coming face to face with Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then if it's, you know, in a time of wrath, a person cannot withstand that. But the tzibor, even when you put ourselves together with the tzibor, we can withstand even God's wrath. So now talking on that topic of God's wrath, again, because the Gemara very works in associative fashion, like, oh, we're talking about God's wrath. Oh, let's talk more about God's wrath. So we have the following braisa about that. Tan Rabbanan kel zo'im b'chol yom. So God's wrath pours forth every day. Sounds like every day, sometime during the day, for a certain amount of time every day, God is angry. So the Gemara says, how long is it? V'kamazamo? Rega. How long is God's anger? A rega. A moment. Okay, but how long? You know, we're very precise here, right? We're down to, you know, every single, you know, millisecond. So v'kamarega. How long is a millisecond? So the Gemara says, achas michamesh riboy v'shloshas alafim v'shmona meyos v'rabayim v'shmona b'shazu hirega. So that's 1/53,848th of an hour. So a microsecond. So the Gemara says, "In the ain kol bria yichol lachavein osarega chusi bilin harasha." No one was able to precisely calculate that moment, except for bilin harasha. Why? How do we know that Bilam was able to calculate the moment of divine anger? Now we're back on Dalam Abed that says regarding him, V'yodeya das elyon. He knew the transcendent thoughts of God. So Gemara says, wow. So it sounds like it's some sort of, you know, he has this tremendous wisdom, tremendous insight. And Tosis points out, as leading to the Gemara, that the implication of the Gemara is that he doesn't, it's not, this wasn't prophecy, it was rather his own chachma, his own wisdom that he had, and that's why the Gemara asked the following question. Wait a second. Efshir das behemto, lo havi yada, das elyon, mi havi yodea? Right? I mean, you're telling me that here we have Bilam, as we all know from the story, who doesn't even know what's going on with his own donkey. You're going to tell me this is the guy who is privy to the most transcendent thoughts, who understands and can calculate the precise moment of divine anger? So Gemara says, what are you referring to? My das behemta lo haviyada. What is the reference here to the fact he didn't know the thoughts of his animal? So Gemara says, Be'inna de chazule, the havarachi achamre. So when he was traveling with the princes of Moab, they saw that instead of riding like them on horses, that Bilam was riding on a donkey. So Amrulay, they said to him, My time alo rachta asusio, how come you're not riding on a horse? So I left my horse in some sort of grazing pasture. This is my car for today. I left my other car in the shop. So once the donkey heard that, the donkey said, "But tamar ha'ason, halo anochi asoncha? I'm just like your backup car. Am I not your donkey?" So Amarla. So he said to her. He said to the female donkey, "Latina Balma, yeah, you know, you're just whenever I need to do some heavy lifting. That's when I use you, but you know, you're my second option." So Amrale, she said back to him, "Asherachavta alai." So, but what are you talking about? You ride upon me. Sounding like it's not just like something that you choose to do when you don't have any other option available. I'm your first option. And Boom says, no. So he's like, you know, someone's like, oh, you're my best friend. Like, I don't really know who you are. Do we know each other? Where do we know each other from? So Boom says, I'm a little bit cry, Baum, but yeah, just occasionally, you know, it happens to be that sometimes, oh, you know, you'll be my choice of transportation. And then finally he says, Amrale, she says to him, that from this day to that, I've been, I mean, he's not just a bad cry, just not sometimes, rather, it seems like every single day. Sevloed, and says the drasha here, El Shani Oselecha Rechivas Bayom, Vishus Balaila. He says, not only, not how close are we, how intimate are we, not only do you drive me during the day, but you, we're intimate at night. connecting back with our, we'll see later in the second paragraph, the assumption of the pagan world and bestiality. So, Ksivacha, how do we know that what's the association, the fact that it's kind of strange, all of a sudden the donkey has a very intimate relationship with Bilam? So there's a drasha. It says in this pasuk, again, this whole description here is from pasuk from Bamidbar Chaf Bet Lamed, of the words that the donkey says to Bilam. So it says, Haskein Haskanti. So the pasuk says that, was I ever want to do this for you? Meaning, because he's getting upset at her, like, how could you do this to me? You're embarrassing me. Like, you know, like a couple, you know, bickering at each other. And then it says elsewhere in Malachi, Malachim, that when it's describing Avishak Ashunamis at the end of David HaMelech's life, he needs someone. So Sokenes means that they want to have her as some sort of consort to warm him up. So Chazal say, you see, Sokenes means to warm up in a somewhat sexual manner. So Haskin Haskanti, there's some sort of sexual undertone that's going on between Bilam and his donkey. So therefore, the Gemara says, okay, so you see here, not only was Bilam sleeping with his donkey, but he didn't even know what's going on. You know, talk about it, you know, they need some marriage counseling over here. He just doesn't understand her. She doesn't understand her. So therefore, if that's the case, there's no way that this person could be so wise to be able to calculate the precise moment when God is angry. So therefore, what does that mean? What could it possibly mean that he knew God's transcendent thoughts? Rather, it says, right, so it wasn't that he was this, you know, tremendous, you know, wise individual, this, you know, crazy prophet. Rather, what made him so special is because he had the ability, he knew, he was very good with numbers. You guys, you ever seen, was it Batman Begins? The money manager, and they're like, what are you doing here? What's your special power? He's like, I'm very good with numbers. So that was Bilam. He's very good with numbers. And that's about it. So, v'hainu dekamar lehu navi. So the following prophet says, the pasuk in Micha, Ami, so my nation, Zechorna ma ya'at Balak melech Moab, remember that which Balak, the king of Moab, suggested, Ma'ana oto Bilam ben Baor, and that which, that the response and the suggestion made back by Bilam, Min ha'shitim ba'ad Gilgal, so that's describing the area, I mean until they came to Gilgal, where you fell against your enemies, Laman das tzidkos Hashem, so you should know the righteousness of God. So the question is, so it sounds like it's referencing this historical period, this moment with Bilam and Balak, and that he's, so the Navi is trying to, I guess, remember some sort of chesed, some of tzedek that God did for us. So what was that tzedek? So the Gemara says, Amar v'lazar, Amar lana kadosh baruch hu, Yisrael, imi ru'u, so my nation see, kama tzidkos asisi imachem, so see how much righteousness I did with you, shalo ka'asi aleichem, ko'osar ayamim. The entire time, when Bilam was trying to do all of his tricks and strategies to get me to allow him to curse you, I did not at any moment, I refrained from those times to be angry at you, or angry at all. Sheim hakasi alechem lo nishtarer, lo nishtarer mi sonem shei Yisrael sir depalit. That if I were to have been angry in that moment when Bilam was trying to curse you, it would not have been left from, so literally means sonem shei Yisrael, the haters of Israel. But here it's a euphemism meaning referring to the Jewish people, because the author of the Gemara didn't want to count as the idea of the entire Jewish people being destroyed. So a lot of times in the Gemara, when we reference these sort of punishing moments in Jewish history, the term sonehem shel Yisrael is used. So if I had been angry in that moment, no one would have been left. Okay. So v'hainu tekamar lei Bilam leBalak, is that which Bilam had said to Balak, ma'akov lo kova. How could I curse when God has not given me the right to curse? Lo kavai el ma azam lo zam Hashem. How can I get angry and pour forth wrath when God has not been angry? As Bilam is trying to say, listen, I'm controlled by the man upstairs. When he says goes, and as much as I want to try to curse them, I can't curse unless he gives me license to. So again, the Gemara says, we said before, kama zamo. How long is his anger? Rega, a moment. Kama rega. So how long is a rega? Amar amimar vitima ravina. Some say It was Ramimar, some would say it was Ravina, Halog is a Rega, Kimimri, the amount of time it takes to say the word Rega. So the Gemara says, wait a second, we know under Rega Hava Resiche. From where do we know that the God's anger lasts for a Rega? Dichtiv, it says the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ki Rega Bapo, Chaim Birtzono, because for a moment, for a Rega, it's his wrath. Vibai Seema says, no, not from that Pasuk, rather from a different Pasuk, a Pasuk in Yeshaya. Chavi Kimat Rega, Ad Yavor Zam, hide but for a moment until his wrath passes over. So the Gemara says, well, okay, fine. So now we've identified that God has this moment, this period of divine wrath, whatever that means exactly, on a metaphysical level. So now we ask a very important question. Okay, when is it? So we want to be careful. You know, if you know God's going to be having divine wrath at some point during the day, we want to know what time of day that is so we can be in our best behavior. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Bitflash Shai Kamaisa, during the first 3 hours of the day. Ki chivra, and now it gives you actually a sign that you can notice when this time period is. Ki chivra karbalta de tanagola, when the crest of the rooster whitens. So Gemara says, wait a second. Koshata v'shata b'chavra chivra. Every moment, at some point during the day, every hour of the day, at some point, the crest of the rooster is whitening. So Gemara says, no. Koshata isbe siruki sumki. Hahishaita leisbe siruki sumki. That yeah, every other time, except for the beginning of the day, whenever the crest of the rooster whitens, there's stripes of red. But specifically in the morning, there is this pure white thing. I don't have any chickens, I don't have any roosters, I can't vouch for it, but that's what Abaye says. So now, once we've identified that God is angry, you know, there's a moment of divine wrath, that how long is that moment of wrath, a rega? When does it happen? It's the beginning, the first 3 hours of the day. Now we're going to see an interesting anecdote about someone trying to put that into practice. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, have a mitzar le haumina. Rabbi Yeshua Levi was being, you know, bothered and antagonized by some Christians. And what were they doing but cry? They're again asking him, well, how do you know who's the suffering servant? Come on, you know it's Jesus. Come on, you know you want to save Jesus. You know you want to save him as your savior. And he's just like really bothered by them. So Yom Achad, so what did he do? One day he took, not a tarnagola, he took a chicken. V'ukme bin kare d'arsa. He put it at the by his bed. The ayin bay, and he's sort of waiting there. He's holding it there. He's staying up all night. He's going to be ready for that moment. He's staying up all night, lots of lattes, espresso, because at that moment, when the crest of the chicken whitens, and there's no specks of red, what can he do? Kimata, hishata, altia. When that time comes, I can curse this cursed Christian. And then what happens? Kimata, hishata, nimnom. So imagine, again, all the steakouts. He's staying up all night waiting for it to happen. What happens? He falls asleep. So Amar, so he says, he takes some muster from this. He says, Shema mina, lav orech arad l'amid hachi. It's not correct. It's not ethically correct for me to try to seek out his destruction, to try to bring divine wrath upon this person. What's the proof of that? V'rachama v'kol ma'asav. As we say about God and Tehillim, that God is rachamim all of his creations. Yeah, it's true that this person is being really annoying. He's even making my life miserable. But it doesn't mean I try to invoke divine wrath upon the person. Additionally, you quote the pasuk in Mishlei, that we say, Gam eno shot sadik lo tov. Even you think that for a wicked person to like do something terrible, yeah, it would impact them terribly. But maybe a tzaddik can go ahead and experience and dispense punishment, and it wouldn't affect them. And even there, Mishlei says, even for a righteous person, they shouldn't do it. Yeah, Zach, you have a question. Okay. I thought it was interesting because Tosos over here, he talks about in Tosos Devar Maskol, Shema Mina Lav Orach Ara, is that Tosos says, at the end here, very beautifully, he says, yeah, you could try to justify it, like, you know, this person was either, you know, a heretic or a pagan, and we shouldn't be treating them well. But says Tosos, Shema Mina, what you learn from this Gemara is even if we have some sort of theological opposition, and even an antagonism towards these other groups, you see from here, Lav Orach Ara. It's not for us to decide who God should be punishing or not. That's up to God to decide. Yeah, it might be uncomfortable, it may be unfortunate for us, but that's for God. In fact, he continues and says, even more so, it's possible that we could have actually killed these people, and yet that there's, you know, we should not be getting involved in dispensing divine justice. We should leave those decisions up to God. So the Gemara continues and says, Tana Mishmeid Reb Meir, who's talking to Reb Meir, Bishah Shah Malachim Manichim Kitreim, when the kings of the world get up in the morning and put on their crown, Umishtachavim Lachama, and instead of serving God, they worship the sun, they engage in paganism. So Miyad Kores HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's that moment, which again, if you remember the Gemara in Brachos, that's in the first 3 hours of the day. That's when the kings wake up. So that is that time period again, this three-hour period, when God is getting upset, God's anger is kindling. So therefore, there's actually halacha l'masa based on this. Amar of Yosef, Yosef says, Lo litzli inish saluta de musve betat shai kamaisa de yoma kama de reshata biyachid. He says that a person, that's like you can't find your day, it's Rosh Hashanah, you're unable to make it to Minyan. So Rabbi Yosef says that if you're by yourself on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you should not daven Musaf during these first 3 hours. Because the whole time we're trying to go ahead and recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu's kingship, and we know this is a time period where one is especially fraught with the potential of God taking a very close look at us and potentially punishing us. So the Gemara says, why? Why shouldn't a person daven on Rosh Hashanah Musaf the first 3 hours of the day? Kiv the Mifke Dina Dilma Ma'ayne Bovdeha V'dachu Le'mitchi. As I just said before, that perhaps that because now you're bringing attention to yourself, as we saw on Da'alam and Aleph, that sometimes the attention for the individual can be much more overwhelming, overpowering than it is for the tzibur. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If it's problem for us, it sounds like the fact that you said it's only problematic for an individual. For the tzibur, it's not. So Yihachi the tzibur Nami. You'd say, well, why should the tzibur daven then? Seemingly the tzibur can daven Musaf during those first 3 hours. The Gemara says, the tzibur in the Fisha Zuchute, as we saw also in Da'alam and Aleph, because the tzibur represents as Osher Zuchas. You know, a great mashal to talk about the relationship between the individual and the community is you really think of an index fund. Right? You have an index fund which is not just one company, it's the entire industry. Right? You're not just investing in Facebook, you're investing in all the big social media internet giants. And so what happens there is that even if Facebook isn't doing well, so if the other companies are in the index fund, mutual fund are doing well, what happens? It goes up. So too, when we come together as individuals, so maybe individually we're not doing so well, but if you look at ourselves as Klai Yisrael, as an index fund, so when we join the tzibur, it raises our product, our profits up. So the Gemara says, Yachid, Yachid et Safra, Namilo. Okay, so why are you telling me that it's limited to these 3 hours? Maybe anytime a Yachid should never daven because it's always fraught with the possibility of them bringing attention to themselves. So Gemara says, Lo, kevniket sibura de kamatzlu lo kamitchi. The fact that because there, you know, at that time, somewhere in that place, there's a tzibur davening, therefore it's like they're davening the tzibur. In fact, that's what Tosis points out over here at the bottom, that if you ever have a situation where you can't make it to shul, so you should daven in the same time as the tzibur. So if you know minyan's at 8 o'clock, and you can't make it for whatever reason, you're in your room, you want to daven, so you should daven at the same time because as if you're participating virtually with the tzibur. Obviously, it's optimal to be with the tzibur, as Tosa says, right? We say that your tefillos don't get pushed off, but to have your tefillah actually answered, the best place to do that, to have that happen, is where the actual tzibur is davening. So the Gemara says, wait a second, we have a problem. Because you're telling me the first 3 hours of the day is this time of judgment. If you remember the Gemara we saw on Gimel Bet, what does God do the first 3 hours of the day? He learns Torah, exactly. So the Gemara says, isn't God learning Torah? And it's only the second quarter of the day that he's judging the world. So the Gemara says, simple answer, ifuch. Okay, flip it around. So really, the first 3 hours of the day, God's doing judgment. The second 3 hours of the day, God is learning Torah. Or says the Gemara, v'yibayisema le'olam lo'tevach. No, you flip it around. So what's going on here? So yeah, it's true, God's learning Torah. Torah dekasav ba'emes. But what's Torah about? Torah is about living in concert with certain values, certain truths, certain ideals. It says, emes kona ve'al temkor. You should acquire truth and don't sell it. So in a kodesh baruch hu osu l'fim yishuras adin. So God doesn't go beyond or within, we start beyond the legal limit. Din delo k'siv be emes, sorry, last place. Din delo k'siv be emes, hakodesh baruch hu osu l'fim yishuras adin. I mean, the point is that, yeah, it's not a problem because the first 3 hours are representative of Torah, and Torah is representative of truth. So now we just have a few more lines over here. So now the Gemara says, Gufa, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So we saw this teaching before. It says the Pasuk, Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom la'asosam. Right, that I command you today to do these things today. So hayom la'asosam, for today you to do them, v'lo machar. La'asosam, but not to do them tomorrow, meaning after latid lavo. Hayom la'asosam v'lo hayom l'toschar. But at the same time, today to acquire them, but not to expect the reward. In fact, there's a group, those who are interested, there's a tremendous amount of shiurim by Rabbi Dr. Ari Bergman, who actually came here 2 years ago, Scott Residence. Amazing, genius, super interesting, hedge fund manager, PhD in religion, Talmud scholar. Very cool. He has a whole approach of this idea of of that the transition, I would say, of from Bayis Rishon to Bayis Sheni of the nature of schar in our lives, and he connects it to like the machlokas between the Siddukim and the Purushim. Very cool stuff. So just a couple of comments with Rav Tam Rav Shua ben Levi. We'll end today with a couple of teachings from Rav Shua ben Levi. Amar Rav Shua ben Levi, kol mitzvos to Yisrael osim bo mazeh, bo samidos osim lo maba. Every mitzvah that we do in this world comes and testifies us about our integrity and our values and what we did in this world and the next world. Shneamar, the pasuk we started with many amudim ago in Yishayahu mem gimel tet, yidnu ideyem yitztaku. Right, they'll give forth their testimony. In this case, who's the testimony being given by the mitzvos? And they will be, you know, vindicated. Who's this? The Jewish people. Yishmu v'yomru emes, and they'll hear and say this is true. Says Gemara, Yidnu eidei mitztaku. Who are those people? Eilu Yisrael. Yishmu v'yomru emes eilu avdei kochavim. Who's going to say that what's being done is correct? Is just? Is the Jewish? Is the non-Jewish people? Okay, another teaching from Rav Shua ben Levi. Amar Rav Shua ben Levi, kol mitzvah Yisrael osan bel mazeh bos v'torfos osan. Everything that we do not only has a positive effect upon us, but has a, or at least in a relation, a negative effect upon the pagans. As it says, it will shake them. Torfos osam will shake them onto their faces. Shneamar, as the pasuk says, Ushmartem, you will gar vasitem, you will do ki hi chachmatchem, because this is your wisdom, binatchem, and your intuition, leinei ha'amim, to the eyes of the nations of the world. So Gemara says, Neged ha'amim lo nemar. It doesn't say corresponding or in front of, ela le'enei ha'amim. So it's to the eyes of the nation. It says the Gemara, Melamed, Shabos, Torfas, Lo Techofen, Al Pneyam, Lo'olam Haba. So from here you learn that our mitzvahs will come and cause some sort of shaking up of the pagans in the next world. So we'll stop here, and tomorrow we're going to talk about the Eagle Hazahav and Shuva and other cool topics.